Would you rather live in Ohio or South Dakota?
Okay, to be fair, I don't know as much about South Dakota. I don't know what they have there. So I know that I at least know in Ohio, which is arguably the worst state of all 50 states, that there's at least like some stuff, you know, there's Cleveland, there's Toledo, like I kind of understand Ohio, but South Dakota, I don't know. It's a world of mystery. I seriously don't know what's there. So
my dad would wholly disagree with you that Ohio isn't the worst, mainly because he always makes it a point to point out that it's the cheapest metropolitan area, for one, and then two, it's also you can't win any election without Ohio.
Okay, neither of those things make it a good state.
They, I know,
they're just facts about Ohio.
I know. I'm just telling you what my dad would say.
Like, neither of those things made me go, oh, okay, Ohio. Yeah, no.
Well, as a Buckeye, he loves to point out those factoronies.
I mean, that's fine, and he should just live his life. I mean, a lot of people like to say that Jersey is the worst state, because we're very overpopulated if you go up north, and, you know, I don't know, we suck.
And it made Jersey Shore the show.
Ugh. But all those people are from Long Island. Can we not get into this?
Well, the show that we're talking about today is centrally located in Chicago.
Chicago. Wait, you didn't answer the question.
Wait, oh, where would I rather be?
Yeah.
I guess Ohio, because I've already been there for an extensive period of time, so why not continue my...
You'd rather go back to Ohio? I think I'd rather take a chance on South Dakota. I'm gonna say that.
Well, I know that wholly if I go to South Dakota. Dakota. South Dakota.
Yeah.
If I go to South Dakota, it'll wholly be full of, like, white people. At least in Ohio, I run the gambit of seeing, like, a few minorities here and there.
I'm gonna take a chance
on South Dakota. You know what? We might go to Wikipedia and look up the frickin', they have a, like, cultural breakdown of the population on there. I know that for a fact because I've done it multiple times before. Oh my god, what is that sound?
I'm so sorry. I have my window open and there's just a motorcycle.
Oh, I was just like, it sounded like someone was playing music, like, really loud.
Just start playing motorcycle sounds.
No, it sounded like a band.
It's me, Merrick. Alright, I'm just gonna Google South Dakota. Let's see. This is going to take most of the episode.
I love this. You know, we really had to come up with some fun shenanigans for our season finale.
Talks about this for an hour.
Instead of what our whole topic was.
Yo, Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota. That's so wild.
Okay, so we know angry Native Americans are there.
I would have never guessed that. If you had asked me where fucking Mount Rushmore was,
I thought it was in North Dakota.
I probably would have said Minnesota because I don't know anything.
No, I honestly thought it was in North Dakota, so now I have no idea what's in North Dakota. Wolves, maybe?
Wind Cave National Park. That sounds fun. See, there's a lot of, like, nature there.
Wow, maybe you won this gambit.
And there's probably cool Native American stuff there, too.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Like, that would be really cool to check out, I think. Oh, you know what's in North Dakota?
What?
North Dakota. Is Fargo.
Okay, less interested in that. I guess if I were going to go to a Dakota, it would be south then.
Again, like, if you had asked me where Fargo was, I literally would have had no clue.
I thought it was, like, Michigan or something. Or Wisconsin.
Yeah, like, again. But anyway, I think I'm gonna stick with South Dakota. I mean, I think you're probably very right in that there's like just a fuck ton of white people. And also there's probably no cities. But let's see, the largest city is Sioux Falls.
Oh. Like in Supernatural.
Sure, yeah.
That's where like, Jody lives.
Who?
Jody, from the mom from Zack and Cody.
Oh, God, I forgot about her.
Yeah, she's the longest, she's honestly like the longest living female character on that show.
She sure is. Oh, I really like their flag.
What is it? Is it festive? Oh, wait, is it, which Dakota is that, South?
No, that's, sorry, that's Sioux Falls.
Oh.
That's their flag.
The town has a, do most towns have flags?
Sure.
I'm bewildered.
Anyway,
new information.
Anyway, it's cool.
Yeah. Also, not the topic of this episode. Sorry, guys. This episode is about,
I want to talk about this for 20 more. All right.
This episode is about the Netflix series, Easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Written and directed by Jeff Swanberg. Yep. He directed every episode, didn't he?
What?
He directed every episode, didn't he?
Probably, because, I mean, the whole thing is mumblecore, right?
Yeah.
For those of you not familiar, mumblecore is, because I've explained this to somebody the other day when I was trying to talk about Easy, mumblecore is in between improvised and scripted. So there is a script, but it's like more of like an outline, and it's like, okay, these are the characters in this scene, this is what's happening, these are the points you need to hit, but most, if not all, of the dialogue is improvised.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to his stuff, it's more improvised than not.
Yes, because he's very good at it, because he's experienced. I think the more experienced you get at it, the easier it becomes to direct, probably, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like, the better you are at it, the easier it is to, like, direct the actors into doing more improvisation.
Yeah, because all of his movies are like that.
Yeah, I love his movies. I mean, to me, Easy feels more tightly scripted, because it has to be, because it's shorter, and there's, like, his movies feel more improvised to me.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, you can more, I think it's more because, like, the scenes can be longer, and so the actors can really go off, like, a little bit, like, there's a lot more of just, like, scenes where you can tell they just like kept the camera rolling, and like in with Easy it's not like that, because you have to, it, you know, they're all 30 minutes. Are they 30 minutes?
They vary, but I mean, I kind of disagree with you, because watching this whole season, I definitely feel like it was improvised, especially certain scenes where I'm just like, what the fuck, like, what are you even talking about? I mean, like, because I know it's mumblecore and they're, like, improvising and stuff, but there are certain things where I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, this is so discombobulated and far from what your topic was.
Maybe it's just more that the editing is tighter.
Yeah.
Because it's shorter.
I think it is.
Feel that way. I don't think it actually is less improvised. I think it is just as improvised. I just think, like, we don't get as much of that, like, I don't know. I'm just thinking of the scene from, there's this one scene in Drinking Buddies, which is his movie with, God, I don't fucking know anybody's name.
Olivia Wilde and, like, I forget, yes, the dude.
The guy from New Girl.
Yeah.
So there's this scene where they're, like, it just is, like, intercut between a scene with them and then a scene with, like, Anna Kendrick's character and somebody else. And, like, the scene with the guy and Olivia Wilde is just them, like, playing with cold cuts. And it's like, they just go off, I think they're high or something, and they just go off on this scene for like 10 minutes that I'm like, clearly none of this was like written at all. Like, and it's just like the characters like goofing off with each other. And in in Easy, I just feel like there's more, not necessarily that's tight or scripted or anything, it's just there's like more of like, we have to hit these points, these certain scenes, because we have less to play with editing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, that totally makes sense. I agree with that.
What were, I mean, I don't know if you can, what were some of the scenes that you were like?
Specifically, like, episode 7? I really skimmed through that one.
I don't, dude, you have to like, talk about what they're about, because I'm not going to fucking remember. I already forget everything that happened, even though I watched it super recently.
So. Oh, maybe it's because I finished it today. So, like, episode 7 was, like, the one that was about, like, this black guy who was, like, trying to sell stuff on the street or something.
Okay, yes, yeah.
Yeah, that one, literally, as soon as I started watching that one, I tuned out because, like, I was just not into the story. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
The only reason I liked that one was because it was so different than everything else. Other than that, I was like, all right. Like, it wasn't my favorite episode, but I did really like how different it was from all the other stories.
I think I was annoyed about it, just particularly in its placement in this season. Because I'm like,
one of the last episodes?
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I feel like this should have been, especially when episode 8 was like, I liked episode 8 way better than the actual last one. I was just like, okay, specifically, I definitely want to talk about the very last episode, because I just watched that one, so it's the freshest in my mind.
Okay.
But, especially...
I mean, I'm gonna, like, pull up, because I, like, I just can't remember, because every episode is, like, a different story, I, like, am having trouble remembering which ones are which, so I'm just gonna...
That is very fair. That is very fair.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Okay. Yep. Sorry. Okay, really interesting, though, the episode 7 has a pretty low rating on IMDb.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, like, very, like, comparatively, especially to the rest of the episodes. So, yeah, so where do you want to start? Do you want to start by talking about the last episode? Because I didn't realize that this was the last season. And I was like, okay, like, this wasn't a bad season. Like, you know, I enjoyed it, whatever. And then when you were texting me and you were like, this was the last season, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's where we left it? That's where the fuck we left these people? Like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, since it's anthological and we can just hop around anyway, this actually, this benefits our style of how we talk about things.
Yeah, it does.
So.
Which is nonsense.
That's what this whole show is. It's just nonsense. Honestly, it's just nonsense and drama, which I live for, so.
It's whimsy.
It's absolute whimsy.
It was an act of whimsy.
So, the couple that are in the last episode, which is the chick from San Junipero and bruh from New Girl.
Yep.
I don't know anyone's names. If you're not familiar with, you know, San Junipero, she was also in the newest Cloverfield movie that was on Netflix.
She's in a good amount of stuff.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely a good actress. I will say that.
Her name is Gugu.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, wasn't she in, like, some other movie that we watched?
that we watched together?
Yeah, didn't... Well, honestly, I think it was for a class.
Oh, she was in A Wrinkle in Time. Oh! Oh, yes. Wait, was that her that was in that movie about the woman who was found in her apartment?
Yeah.
In her apartment? Was that her?
Yeah, that was her, I think.
Oh, that movie was wild. Anyway.
That was a fun movie.
But she also played... She was also in A Wrinkle in Time. She was the mom.
Oh, that's fun. I never saw that, still.
I watched it high, regrettably. It was bonkers. It was bonkers.
I mean, I feel like there's no other way that you can watch it.
Honestly, probably would have made less sense. Sober.
Oh my god, speaking of things that make less sense, how about the other day I was in a hotel with some friends because, you know, it was late at night and we were watching movies and fucking, we were watching the hotel cable and we were watching Sucker Punch for a minute and then we were just talking about how the movie doesn't really make any sense.
Yo, I love Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah. That's literally what we kept saying. We're just like, I love this movie, but it also makes, like, zero sense.
It really doesn't. It really... But you have to accept that about it to enjoy it. Because I've spoken to people about Sucker Punch, and it enrages me because they're like, well, it wasn't good. It didn't make any sense. And I'm like, no, you just have to be along for the ride.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Yeah, and then one of our friends was reading the IMDb reviews, and he was just like, the very first one does, he's like, they go in and talk about, like, how the whole movie's about the character Sweet Pea, and that the main character, the girl who does the dancing, is like, she's not actually real, she's a figment of Sweet Pea's imagination, and I'm just like, that doesn't make sense. We literally start with that character, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, you could theorize all you want. It's not going to make the movie make more sense.
Exactly. I'm just like, but what's funny is, like, we watched, like, the first half of that movie and then changed the channel and then watched the last, like, half of Jupiter Ascending.
Another great movie that you just have to be along for the ride. Like, you have to be along for the ride.
We literally were just like, this movie also doesn't make sense.
But also a great movie. Like,
yeah, like, one of them was just like, oh, is this a good movie? I was just like, I own it on DVD.
Honestly, some of my favorite movies are just, like, nonsense.
Yeah, it's some of my more preferred stuff from the Wachowskis. They do a lot of weird stuff, but I do enjoy their world building.
Oh, absolutely.
They just haven't mastered it to some capacity. Jupiter Ascending should have been a show, honestly. Because they tried to pack way too much into that movie.
Yeah.
To the point where you're just like, wait, what's going on?
Actually, yeah, that would... I hope they... That would make a good, like...
Animated show?
What?
I was going to say animated show.
It would. I was just thinking, like, not a knockoff, but, like... You know, like, if you redid that movie as a show, like, not a spinoff, like, you're not, you know, focusing on a different part of it, but you literally just restructured it as a TV show, I think it would be good.
Oh, like how they did with Shadowhunters?
Was Shadowhunters a movie?
Mm-hmm. Lily Collins was in it.
Okay.
Your response is exactly what everyone else said to the movie. They
don't
said,
care. Was that you that I texted the other day? And I was like, I was in the bookstore and like, Cassandra Clare is like still fucking out there just writing shit. I'm like, how? Like, she has so many. Was that her? That was her, right? Shadowhunters?
Yeah.
Yeah. She has so many fucking novels out. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think I heard that they're going to do an Infernal Devices TV show or something like that.
Like, and, honestly, like, the dream. But also, what the fuck?
It's weird. Somehow she has cashed in more than J.K. Rowling, which is funny because it's Harry Potter fanfic.
I don't think she's cashed in more.
I Weirdly, I feel like she has because she's doing like way more books and shit. And then JK only had the 7
Harry
and has
Potter
been.
Has a theme park. She gets that money.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
She gets that money. Also, there are like 700 movies. I know I'm yelling right now. This is not even what we're talking about in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, though.
But.
You're right. I stand corrected.
But it is crazy how successful Cassandra Clare is from Harry Potter fanfic. Like, the fact that she is that successful is crazy.
If only I would have turned my Teen Wolf fanfiction into something.
It's not too late, Chad.
It's never too late to do a novel. It's never too late. I have to go find that one about the prostitute.
What?
I have to go find the one about the prostitute.
The only one of yours I'm familiar with is the somebody watches somebody else fuck. And it's...
that was funny. I get
Jackson watches Styles and Derek fuck? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I still get kudos on that, and it's hilarious.
What a good time.
It's a constant nightmare that'll never live down unless I get rid of it. But low key, I don't want to get rid of it because I want to be able to like look back on it when I'm like 40 and be like, ah, I wish I was dead.
Read it to your grand.
Yeah, I like how at 40 I make myself sound like super old.
Yeah, you're like 40 years old, you're like, I just want to die.
No, at that point, I'm gonna print them out and get them bound into a book, and then I'll save it forever. For like, oh, that would be like such a fun thing to like, cause you know, like you can make your own books and shit. So I'm like, get my own one issue printed of like my fan fiction and keep it on my shelf and be like, would you like to hear some fan fiction?
You absolutely should. All right, we've gone very far.
I know, but great ideas that are coming out of us, right?
Oh God. So yeah, why don't you talk about the last episode, which is about the actress character and her boyfriend, who
arguably was the most boring couple on the planet.
Yeah.
Like when it came to couples that were on this series, I think they were the two that I literally cared absolutely nothing about them when they were first introduced in their first episode. I was just like, I don't care. I really don't care. And I watched the whole thing. And I was like, still don't care. Got to the end. When we got to this episode, she was like, oh, I'm coming back. I'm in Chicago. And I'm just like, okay. How about homegirl is full on insane. When she went out to dinner with him and was just like, oh, I'm thinking about moving back. And then later on, he was just like, oh, so are you going to move back? She was like, well, I don't know. I still have like all of my stuff in California. I kind of have to go back. I have meetings. I'm like, and then she, like, started crying and being like, you're making me feel bad for, like, having dreams and stuff. And I'm just like, girl.
That's really funny because I was on her side the whole time.
He didn't even do anything. He literally was just minding his own business. She came there and was just like, hey, what's up? And decided to be like, I'm going to take a trip down memory lane and be like, hey, I think I might want to come back and meet with you. And then was like, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go home now. Like, that was just too much.
Why? This is so funny to me. Because I totally was on her side. Like, not on her side. Like, I didn't really... I wasn't, like, on the side of either character in this situation.
You fire signs stick together, I see.
Shut up. But... I understood where she was coming from because she goes in the first episode with them, she like goes to pursue this like lifelong dream to like these big Hollywood dreams, and she gets them because she gets on this TV show, but then her TV show gets canceled, and I think what we're supposed to like understand is that the character starts panicking and starts getting very nostalgic about her life in Chicago, which she led for a long, long time, and probably, and like moved, you know, she moved out to LA with like nothing, just herself, just on this, like, just based on the fact that she got this part. So I actually was very,
Yeah, I get that, but she also needs to understand that she's acting like a crazy person.
Well, and also, like, in the first episode with them, the episode with them in the first season, he is, like, she's, like, talking to him about the fact that she's, like, gonna move to L.A. and pursue this dream, and he's like, oh, I just wish you cared about us, and I'm like, she's talking about her life here, dude. Like, she's trying to go after this career, and he's, like, whining at her. Like, I don't know. I had a completely different view of them.
Yeah, well, I find them very boring, and I don't care that much about them in general.
Yeah.
But I, like, also in that instance, I was like, okay, well, you came back and kind of initiated a whole bunch of stuff and then started, like, going on this emotional roller coaster, basically, while he's just sitting there like, I don't know how you want me to respond. And that was, like, and that was exactly how I was feeling. I'm just like, girl, do you just want to, like, go through something and then talk about it? Because if you want to do that, then we can do that. But don't, like, try and involve me in something I don't need to be involved in.
Yeah, no, I think it was just, I think it was more that, like, she, like, got swept up in it and was just like, I'm gonna move back. And then, like, what happened in that conversation where she started to get emotional is that he presented the reality of it to her. And he was like, okay, so, like, what if you just stayed and, like, blah, 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 because you want to, like, you're saying you're going to move back. Like, why don't you just stay tonight, like, tomorrow, and why don't you just blah, blah, blah. And I think she, like reality came crashing down on her, which is, like, what happened in that scene.
Yeah, and then right after that, she ran out and was just like, I'm gonna go after him, and then he was gone, and I was just like,
gone.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, girl. And that's the end of the series. I love that. I love that energy. They're just like, and that's it.
Yeah, that was quite an energy to end on. Like, and this is kind of my problem with everybody's ending, is it had that same energy, and, like, I understand that these are supposed to be, like, really feel like real people and real stories and not have a conclusion and not have a quote-unquote happy ending and blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, we're pushing the boundaries of Jamie. But, like, there's a certain point where your viewer is left unsatisfied, and that is what I felt.
What, at the end of this?
At the end of everybody's story.
Ah. Well, I actually like the end of the brother and sister-in-law's story.
Oh, yes.
That's kind of like
the Dave Franco story?
Yeah. That's, like, the only one I found, like, kind of fulfilling.
I agree. But, actually, in every episode with them is a good, like, beginning, middle, end story.
True.
So, I felt like they were just a good, like, thread.
Yeah.
Except for I didn't fucking care at all about the brothers. I was like, shut up, Dave Franco. Shut up, other guy. Like, I hate them so much. I want them to die.
I know, it's kind of funny, because I was on Dave Franco's side when it came to the brothers, but at the same time, I did not care about Dave Franco.
This was another one where, like, I definitely, like, see it from both their perspectives. Like, and I was like, I feel like if I were anybody in this situation, I would be Dave Franco. But he was kind of acting like a child, like, to the brother's point. Like, I was like, you're running a fucking business here. You can't just be like, oh, I'm just gonna fuck around, do whatever I want, man. It's like, no, that's not how the fucking world works. You gotta sell shit. Like,
yeah.
You gotta sell to the masses if you wanna be successful. That's just kinda how it works. Like, yeah. Anyway. I could talk about that story forever.
Yeah, what's really funny, well, I actually found it very interesting that the couple, I think they were the first couple that we started with the at the beginning of the series.
The married couple.
I found it interesting that we had two episodes with them this season,
Yeah.
but I also like the kind of like foil of the two episodes. But I also found it interesting that the wife had the longer one.
Well, didn't we focus more on the husband to begin with?
I don't remember.
Because if I'm remembering correctly, because I did go back after I watched season three, I did go back and watch a few episodes here and there of seasons one and two, like the ones that I was like, oh yeah, these characters, and like went back and watched. I think when we start with that couple, we're focusing a lot more on him because in like the first episode when she's like, no, not the first episode. I guess it's the second episode when we see them, and she's like, we should have an open marriage. And she just wants to get fucked.
Yeah.
And he's just like having an emotional, like, up and down with it. So, and there's like a lot about the fact that he, like, has to write this play and he's in the theater and blah. And you don't see anything of what she does for work at all, except for the fact that she makes the money.
Yeah.
So, I think we did focus a little bit more on him to begin with. So maybe they were just trying to balance it out with like her story with the other guy.
Yeah. Which was kind of fun. Which was kind of funny in the end when she was just like, yeah, I kind of like got the reality. Like, I like how she psychoanalyzed herself in the end and she was just like, yeah, I totally wholly realized that that was not what I thought was going on at first. And I'm like, yeah, girl. And what was so funny was at the end, she was all like, I don't feel close to you. And then I was just like annoyed because in that instance, I'm like, girl, you initiated this whole thing. You are all like, I want an open marriage. And then afterwards was like, I feel like this isn't what I wanted.
Which is like, you know, that happens, that you like think you want one thing and then you don't. But I feel like it took too long for her to get there. Like
Yeah.
we already, I don't know if you agree with this. I really wanted them to break up and go be with the other people. Like I really wanted him to be with the girl, his friend. And then I was like, her and the other guy, like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
You're sexy, like have fun, like
Go be sexy someplace else.
yeah.
No, I totally agree. I thought they were going to get divorced, and then that didn't happen, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But
Again, like I think it was one of those things where it was like they were trying to not do what was expected of the characters.
yeah. I also liked how the husband was very adult in dealing with the situation where he was just like, I feel like this us opening up our marriage is really like broaden things. He's like, I'm actively choosing to be with you. He's like, I want to be with you. I don't feel like I'm chained to you because we have this life together or life that we've built together. And I was just like, oh yeah, I feel like that's a very like adult perspective to have on it. And then she's just all like, I just don't feel like we're close. And I'm like, in that instance, she just sounded like a crazy girlfriend.
I know it's, and like especially since she, I guess it was kind of like the story was kind of meant to be ironic in that she was the one that initiated having the open marriage, and she was the one that ended up miserable.
Yeah.
You know, that like he didn't want that, but ended up getting something positive out of it, and then she wanted it, and then ended up having the negative experience. So I feel like it was kind of like their stories, I think, were meant to like parallel each other and kind of like be ironic in that way.
Ironic by Alanis
That just should have played at the end.
It really should have. Like at the very end of the series. Is that
No warning, but the credits start. It's
great? I would have done that. Joe Swanberg, missed opportunity.
Honestly.
Why aren't we in charge of making content? Come on. We have such great ideas. They're all over the place and will probably be terrible, but come on.
It's because we're both the Dave Franco. Where we're like, I should do whatever I want.
It's true. I just want to kill my main character for fun.
God, I have so much to say about the Dave Franco storyline.
Oh, no.
But instead, I will say this. The two girls are my favorite. They're my absolute favorite characters, except for Joe, right? That was the one lesbian's name, was Joe? Not Kiersey Clemons, but the other one.
Yeah, I think that was her name, yeah.
And then Grace, the rebellious Christian teenager.
Yes, she was so fun.
Yeah, she's the best. But
that was probably one of my favorite episodes.
Definitely. I think it's my favorite one-off episode, and also the fact that she and her friends come back in season 3 and are the ones to get Dave Franco busted is the funniest shit. I was like, I literally was like cheering out loud when that happened.
You're like, yay, finally.
Because I was like, she's like the best character, and then also she makes this happen. It's so great. The Aya Cash and Zazie Beetz characters are probably my favorites of anybody.
I agree.
Their storyline is just so well done in that. And, okay, I think this is what I mean about, like, being kind of unsatisfied with everybody else's story. Like, those two were the only ones I felt like we saw, like, it was still a very real story, but we still saw growth, and we still came to a good conclusion at the end of their story.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like, every stage of that with them, when you, like, in each episode that you see them, they're doing something new and they're growing, and then they don't end on a final note, but they end on like a satisfying note.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
like you want to see them continuing.
Yeah, well, I mean, so. With definitely the third episode, like this last one that they did in the third season, it was definitely more of like a that one was definitely more of a brother-centric one, whereas I think the second one was the one that was way more about them.
I think there's 4 episodes with those 4 characters, because I think in season 2 we see them twice.
Oh, okay. I honestly don't remember at this point. The seasons are so far between. Well,
no,
there was more of a space between 2 and 3.
It's in season 1. We see them twice.
Ah.
Yeah.
See, that may be why I don't remember, because that one was so long ago.
Well, yeah, like I said, I went back and watched it. Just a little bit. Yeah, the first season... There goes another motorcycle. Yeah, the second episode in the first season with them is the one where Hannibal Buress.
Oh, yeah.
The reporter. And he's, like, trying to get... And again, Dave Franco is just being a fucking ass for no reason.
I actually like the Marc Maron episode that was this season. Like, in season 3. Because, you know, I have that weird... I don't know what it is. I have, like, this weird attraction to him. I don't know what it is.
I hate that character so
much. Oh, yeah. I don't care for that character. I'm just weirdly into Marc Maron. I don't know what it is about him specifically.
I mean, that's fine.
But I hate... Yeah, but I do... I also hate that character, especially since every time we see him, his problems are always the same thing. It's just him being a self-centered ass.
Yeah, and being, like, sexist and misogynistic, and then he's just like, what? What'd I do? And, like, his poor friend is just like, you're a giant fucking idiot, and I can't believe I deal with you. I can't believe they fucking ended up together. That
I know.
Was wild. I really didn't think that they were going to.
Me either. I literally, when I watched that episode, I was just like, wow, I can't believe they're hooking up. And then they fucked, and it was just like, I can't believe that's like, we actually had sex. And I'm like, oh, you weren't fucking before. My bad. Because, I mean, last time I saw her, she was fucking some other older dude. So I'm just like...
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just like, who you fucking now, girl?
I like her a lot, though. I like that character.
True. I do, too.
And I also like, she shows up in, like, everybody else's stories. Like, I don't think she really ever gets an episode of her own.
No, she had the one episode. That was the one where she was fucking the one dude. The older guy. And then she started showing up more in other people's stories, I feel like.
But didn't... I think she shared that episode with somebody else, too. There was, like... Like, that was, like, a second part of another episode. Actually, I think that was another Goo Goo episode.
Oh.
And it was, like, half Goo Goo and then half that lady.
Well...
But anyway, yeah, she's, like, in everybody else's... Not everybody, but she's in, like, several other people's stories, which is funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you might be right. I think she was in that... That was her episode in season one. I also forgot that Orlando Bloom was in an episode.
Me too, until I went back and watched it, and I was like, Orlando Bloom and Malin Ackerman? they were that couple that had the threesome with, what's her name? Oh, she also had a really good conclusion.
Yeah.
I was so happy about that.
Yeah, also, I was just like, at one point, I was just like, girl, why don't you just go out on a date with this, with your coworker? It's obvious that he likes you. It felt, like, painfully obvious.
Yeah, that was a little bit, rom-com.
Yeah, but it was also funny when she was just like, sorry, I have to leave, I have a date.
yeah, that story almost felt the least real to me. It felt the most tropey to me, because it was like, I'm gonna say yes to everybody except the one guy who I really deserve. I was like, okay.
And you know what? Relatable.
Is it, I don't have a cute coworker who's in love with me, so not really. but yeah, I still really enjoyed her story, and I thought she ended on a really good
note,
a satisfying note. Yeah,
yeah. I hope she got that baby she wanted.
Aw, you know she did. She stole that baby.
I finally got the baby.
That's, if there was a season four, that would be her season four episode. She steals that baby.
She has a hysterical pregnancy and then just starts stealing kids in the neighborhood.
We should just write a season four sex script for Easy. Just what everybody does in season four, and everybody's just like literally unhinged.
Everyone's gone batshit. I love that.
Honestly, if that married couple, I would believe it. I would believe that they were unhinged.
Do you know what episode I really enjoyed? That I low-key kind of wish we would have came back to? The first episode of season two, The Package Thief? With Aubrey Plaza.
For some reason, that episode sticks out in my mind very vividly. Like, I think about that one a lot. When I think about Easy, I think about that episode. And I don't know why, because it's actually not one of my favorite episodes.
Really?
Yes, I just sympathize with Aubrey Plaza's character, and I don't like anything else that's happening. Like, I just love the fact that she's right the whole time.
Yeah.
She's like, guys, like, this is bullshit. And they're like, no, we're gonna be crazy. And she's like, oh my god.
Yeah, well, she wasn't right. Like, she was just being like, hey, you guys are overreacting. And then, like, they're like, well, no, there's... Right. She was like, no, there's someone who's stealing packages in the neighborhood. And then she actually finds the dude who steals the package.
Yeah.
And then, like, becomes the hero because she tackles the dude for...
Yeah. No, it's a great... I mean, it's a great, like, storyline, but I don't know. I just... When I rewatched it, I was like, oh my god, I just hate all the other characters so much.
Oh yeah, they're annoying as fuck. They're, like,
and
the
worst. And I don't... I also, like, it irked me that I was like, I don't understand what Aubrey Plaza's character is doing in the suburbs.
Yeah. Like,
she seems like, and her husband or boyfriend or whoever she's living with, like, seems also very, like, hipstery and young. And I'm like, what is this young couple? And also, she seems to not be working. Like, it's just a weird, that they don't really go into it at all. It's like a weird dynamic where, like, he has this, like, office job that's obviously very lucrative because they live in a really nice neighborhood in fucking Chicago, which, like, the suburbs of Chicago are very expensive. And, like, it just, it, she doesn't seem to be working, and it's just, like, a weird, I don't know.
I mean, I went and saw Child's Play the other day, and let me tell you, Aubrey Plaza is doing some weird shit these days. Like,
I mean, that's her MO. That's her fucking MO. Is like, if it's not weird, she's not about it. Like,
it's true, but they made her, like, she's a mom in this movie, and it also, like, doesn't make sense for her to be a mother. Like,
a mother of what?
A, like, 10-year-old kid or something,
no,
like that?
Isn't she, like, our age, or is she older? And I perceive her as.
She might be a teensy bit older.
Maybe she's, like, 32 or 33.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. That's why I'm just, like, that, yeah. It
she
doesn't.
She could play, honestly, she could play teenagers forever, and I'd be okay with it. I'd be like, yep, that's Aubrey Plaza, she's 16.
I totally buy it. It was just a bad movie altogether. I mean, also, just her being a mom just didn't make sense. And then her boyfriend was terrible. It, whatever. Anyway, I digress. I don't want to talk about that terrible garbage. It's not even, like, bad fun. It was just, like, bad.
That's always the worst. Because it's, like, if it's bad enough, it's fun.
But yeah.
If it's not, it's just bad.
It's true. I mean, the only fun part was, like, there was a... Well, I guess, literally, just the way that Chucky looked was funny. Because... He, you know, he used to look scary, and now he looks stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. But anyway.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Why are they trying to remake that anyway?
I really don't know. Like, there's no particular reason why you should do that. I mean, if you're going to do it, just continue on with those dumb movies that they were doing not too long ago. I think the last one was, like, Cult of Chucky or something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that long ago, so I'm like, why reboot it and then change the fucking doll to look more stupid?
Yeah.
Like, they made him look deformed. It really looked like a Chucky doll had been, like, melted in the face or something.
That's literally what they did. They just stuck it in a microwave for a
while. Or he had gotten, like, really bad, like, botched plastic surgery. Like, where you go to, like, a hotel and they're just like, this may hurt.
Yeah. This may hurt. Sign this liability waiver, please.
You will feel a lot of pain.
You know which one-off episode which characters I wish we went back to was the prostitute and Uber driver?
Yes! That was so fun. I love them. Yeah, it was such a one-off episode for that one. And I thought that was such an interesting... I really thought we were going to, like, come back to that character just because she seemed like someone who was, like, a wealth of new stories just because she does a lot of random stuff.
Yeah, the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very interesting. Like, I loved both those characters, and I thought, because the whole thing is that, like, the whole episode is that, like, it's just flashing back and forth between their two lives, and then the end of the episode, they meet, and then, or, like, they meet in the middle because he's her Uber driver, but then they meet again at the end through, like, mutual, like, circumstance, and then, I was like, oh, we're going to get another episode with those two being friends or something, or dating. I don't know. I didn't really necessarily want them to date, but, like, I was like, oh, we're going to get another, but we didn't. I don't know.
I mean, it just seems logical that they would date because that's what, you know, the heteros do.
Heterosexuality, yeah.
They're like, we're both of the opposite sex. We should date.
Well, I thought we were at least going to get an episode of her trying to date and also being a prostitute. Because she mentions it to Annabelle, that older lady character. Mm-hmm. When they're talking about it, Annabelle asks her, like, oh, what about guys you're dating? And she's like, oh, they don't like it. Like, you know, they never react well or whatever. And I was like, okay, maybe we'll get an episode with... That would be interesting to see an episode with her trying to maybe date somebody for real, but also, like, having this as the way she makes money.
Yeah. But, no, we didn't get that. Instead, we got episode 7 of season 3, which was whatever the fuck it was.
I low-key feel like Jeff Swanberg was like, I'm just gonna do a black story. And everybody was like... and he was like, no, it's going to be about people selling on the streets, these black men. And, like, everybody was just like, okay, Joe.
Diversity.
Like, I really feel like that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, there's easier ways to do diversity that aren't whatever that was.
Also, I feel like it's a pretty, well...
That's why I like the one episode with the that we were just talking about with the Uber driver, because it was a black guy and it was showing him he was a struggling comedian and he had to, like, fucking work as an Uber driver during the day to make actual money.
Yeah, wasn't he Nigerian or something? Like, he was actually, like, he was, like, an actual African.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he had lived in Africa and everything.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Because I remember he's talking to the one guy... about his show, and he's like, oh, it's like, I don't know. He's like, it's like this sitcom, but it's set in Africa.
it's literally a normal sitcom, but it's set in Africa.
That's literally what he said.
I would love that. That would be so funny. That would be such an hilarious concept. Like, just take any CBS sitcom and then just set it in Africa. Two broke girls in Africa.
Seinfeld in Africa.
I'm just thinking about the theme song on, like, traditional African instruments. Ba-do-do-do-do. I'm, like, thinking of the drum. I can't make drum noises with my mouth. I can only hear it in my head.
I am crying. This is such a good idea. Again, we should be writing all of this stuff.
It sounds like something that would be on Adult Swim.
It sounds like something that would be on SNL and either be really good or really bad.
Really, what we need to do is we just need to get our own, like, we need to take this show onto Adult Swim. And then we can just do whatever. We can just have random segments that are just, like, whatever we're talking about. Seinfeld in Africa.
You're talking about a sketch show is what you're proposing.
Yeah, but it would be in between a talk show. Oh. A sketch show in between a talk show.
Isn't that, that's like, you know, Key and Peele or, like, Chappelle Show, where it's, like, they're doing their stand-up and then in between it's the sketches.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it.
Like, you're just like, it's just like this other show, and I'm just like, sure, whatever. You're like, yeah, but I'm all for it. I support the idea.
I think we should get on, I think we should try to get on Netflix. I think that would be good. Because they're I think they're doing a couple more sketch shows now. They're, like, trying to get into the sketch show business.
Oh, okay. And then they can cancel us after the third season. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go longer than three seasons.
That's when I'll have my emotional breakdown around season three. Just you wait. Three seasons in, I'll lose my mind.
I will fucking lose my shit, and it will come out of nowhere. And no one will be warned.
One day I'll just walk on the set wearing a toaster costume.
Wearing full African garb and shouting Seinfeld in Africa, and nobody will know what to do about it.
Free Seinfeld! Free Africa!
Free Seinfeld. Alright, you know who we haven't talked about is the lesbians.
It's true. So,
and
when we came back to the lesbians the third time, I was full on done with Kiersey Clemons' character.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Because I like... I'm having trouble saying this. I don't think those two characters should be together. I think that they are very much an example of, like, two people being very attracted to each other who are, like, very different people and probably should not be in a committed relationship with each other. And I have not liked Kiersey Clemons' character from the beginning.
Really?
Yes. And I was like, when I watched, like, the fucking vegan Cinderella episode, I'm like, girl, I get where you're coming from, but oh my god, like, she just took it to an extreme, and, like, in comparison, Joe is such a normal, grounded person that I felt like it almost wasn't a fair, like...
Wait, what did she do in the first episode? I can't remember now.
The vegan Cinderella episode, where she pretends she's vegan.
Oh, yeah. Like,
she pretends, like, everything that Joe's into, she's just like, yeah, I bike, and then, like, gets a bike and, like, pretends she bikes.
Oh, true. Okay, see, what I remember more is the second episode when she's like, oh, I'm gonna do the burlesque thing.
Again, like, an example of them being a bad couple. Like, like, Joe is just, like, not about it, and I know that she, like, I know the end, she, like, shows up to support her. But, like, they just never seem to be on the same fucking page.
It's true. And I'm like,
you guys are just attracted to each other, and you need to be okay with that. Like, you need to be okay with just being attracted to each other and not... And be okay with not being able to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny is I'm, like, remembering when the show first premiered, and we watched... I think we watched episode 2 separately... And we were talking about how, like, someone we know reminded us of that character. We were just like,
Yes, and she still does.
I love it. It's so funny.
She absolutely still does. Because that Labs episode with Kiersey Clemons' character, like, yeah.
What was funny was when the friend was just like, so, like, when are you gonna get the fuck out of my house?
That was so good. I was like, I would be that friend.
She's like, so when are you gonna leave? And then immediately goes back to the ex-girlfriend's house, and she's like, hey, it's like...
And then she just starts, like, unpacking shit, and, like, decorating again, and I was like, yo, like, get out of here, she just wants to fuck Sophia Bush, let her fuck Sophia Bush.
Yeah!
Like, what the fuck is your problem?
That was so funny, I was just like, is that Sophia Bush? I was
rooting for that relationship so hard. And their story is one I'm really mad at the fact that it concluded there. Because I'm like, this implies that they're going to fucking get back together, even though Kiersey Clemons is a child and needs to grow up. And Joe's character is, like, practically a saint at this point. Like, I don't think Jo does anything wrong at all in the whole series.
It's true. She's an activist. She helps the less fortunate.
Besides the burlesque stuff where she's like, oh, I don't want you showing your tits, like, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, that's fair, I guess. It's a valid statement for some people. I feel like I wouldn't care. They're just like, I'm gonna show my tits. I'm like, whatever.
What's funny to me about that episode, the burlesque episode, is that it felt like they were like, okay, let's make Joe's character a traditional male role, but it's a woman, so we're, like, queering this concept.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it felt like to me. It's like, they were like, what would a man say in this situation? But let's make it a woman. Like, shut up.
Stop talking.
Shut the fuck up. I'm not saying that, like, women don't want their girlfriends showing their tits, but, like, it just felt that way to me.
I'm not saying that women don't be shopping, but...
Women be shopping. Listen. Listen.
Let me tell you, that is a factual statement. The amount of packages that show up at my mom's house.
Women be victims of capitalism, all
right? Am I right?
Leave us alone. Let us live.
Honestly, it's literally just the convenience because most of the packages are, like, household items.
I was on Amazon last night and, like, out of nowhere they were just like, here's a brand of razors. And I was like, damn, I could just order these razors right now. And then I was like, no, like, that's how this shit happens. That's why Jeff Bezos has $13 trillion just fucking hiding away in his house.
In his house. No, nowhere else, just in his house.
I'm pretty sure that's how money works, right?
Yeah, honestly, why not? Jeff Bezos probably just invested in a really good security system, and it's just like, I keep all my money in my basement. And the only way to get there is to literally go through knives.
She says, like, live alligators and a moat.
Live alligators, a moat, which are a decoy because you really have to go through the vault of knives.
The vault of knives. Loves it.
It's really just a wall of knives and there's no way to get through it.
Listen, goals. Okay.
Who else was there? Oh, the other episode that I loved that was a one-off was the episode that was all in Spanish.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That's not one I didn't go back and rewatch that one, but that is a good one.
Yeah.
Like, it's really well done.
Yeah, and in that instance, I knew that that particular couple was a one-off couple. Like, we weren't going to come back.
Oh, definitely.
Other times I was just like, are we coming back or not?
Yeah, but they were, like, that was, like, a good, like, it was a good one-off one, where you were like, okay, I feel like I don't need to see these characters again.
Yeah.
Okay, how did you feel about the BDSM episode in season 3?
So the guy is, like, super weird, but
yeah, right? Like, really interesting actor choice that they made there.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay. And then when they decided to do the whole BDSM thing, I was just like,
I would have been, I think I could have done without the BDSM. I think, just in general, I think if that episode had been about that character, like, doing other, like, quote-unquote spy work, like, when he's in the car and he's, like, chasing after that one guy and he sees him in the convenience store and stuff, I was like, okay, I'm on board with this. But then for his undercover role to be the BDSM thing, I was like, Because, yeah.
It very much felt like one of those improv type moments where they're just like, throw out a thing. And yes. They were like, BDSM.
BDSM.
Because it wasn't really, for me, it wasn't the fact that it was about BDSM that that was an issue. It was just like, I didn't understand like what any of, it just seemed like this character being in a weird scenario versus it having anything to do with the actual plot. Because it's not like the show, the other Netflix show Bonding, which is like about the underworld of like BDSM or anything. This was just literally just, oh, well, he just happens to have to go to this BDSM thing.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I was like, okay, he's going to like discover something about himself. Like he's going to get really into the like sub role and like, you know, meet somebody through this. But it didn't seem like that was the case.
Yeah, that's why I was like, it really didn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah, except for the fact that he just, like, did a good job on the mission or whatever. And also, I was, like, not quite sure what the whole point of anything was. Like, I was like, okay, there's something, and they have to take photos of these people doing something compromising. But what's happening? Like, why is this lady so hot? She works for, like, like a tech company. Like, I was like, what?
Hey, hot girls do tech.
I mean,
hot yeah. girls in tech magazine.
Yeah, that was a weird one-off one.
Yeah,
it wasn't one of my favorites.
Me either.
Yeah, I guess the both of the ones in season three, I didn't like.
Yeah, I would have just been totally cool with him just either bringing back characters again from another, like from
yeah.
that we had already had before, or just not having those episodes at all.
Yeah. I agree. Because I'm like, I get that the one-off thing is like part of it, is part of the whole thing, but like, it felt like, because this was the last season, I was like, I feel like we need to see more than this.
Yeah. Especially since it was clear that there were certain storylines that were left open for a reason. So I'm like,
yeah.
We might as well like close those up and then that just be it. I would have rathered that.
Yeah, and like my issue with the whole open ending thing isn't that they're open. It's that they're unsatisfying because pause for motorcycles. I'm like, there's plenty of indie movies out there that you could, you know, reference that have open endings and very realistic endings and not happy endings, and they're satisfying endings because you leave the viewer at a place that is like, okay, yep, that was the end.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
be it a good ending or a bad ending, there just needs to be an ending.
Right. I just like, I have a lot of thoughts about it as a writer because I'm like, I'm not saying you have to, like, adhere so strictly to the rules all the time about writing, but, like, there are certain things when you're, like, consuming a story and you're telling a story that you want people to consume that you have to do, and you can do them in whatever way you fucking feel. But then your viewer or your reader or whoever might not get out of it what you want them to get out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just, yeah.
No, that's I totally all. Get that.
That's all.
No, I totally agree with that because, I mean, like, you want to be as authentic as possible to your own creative vision, but at the same time, you have, like, an obligation to the story and the characters to, like, do it properly rather than to just randomly do shit, just because.
Right, yes, thank you. I think that's more it, is really, is, like, less even about the viewer and more just about yeah, the story and the characters that you are creating. It's like, you kind of do, you owe it to them. Otherwise, what was the point of creating this?
Exactly.
Creating them. Yeah.
Well, all in all, I enjoyed Easy on the whole.
We just get really meta-textual.
It's fine.
Yeah, I, like, honestly, like, I highly recommend it. I am bummed that this was the last season. I would love to see more. But, I guess, you know, good for Joe Swanberg.
Yeah. I'm actually interested to figure out what he's gonna do next. I assume probably a movie.
Cause... Yeah, I guess another movie. I wonder if he likes doing movies better. I wonder if this was something that he was like, oh yeah, a show, and like maybe didn't like it as much, and that's why it's not going on for very long.
Maybe. He doesn't like the format. Yeah, I mean, that could be it. It's either that or keeping up with the momentum of like having to do it on a consistent basis, and I feel like with his movies, well, because with the show, you kind of have to do, like, multiple, and I feel like with his movies, yeah, he just kind of, like, does a movie every couple of years.
Yeah.
So, I feel like with the show, it might be keeping up with the momentum.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I would definitely be interested in a another show that more so followed one through line.
Yeah. You know?
Like, if he did a mumblecore show that was, like, not an anthology series or partial anthology series, but, like, was an actual, like, serial show, but did it as mumblecore, I think that would be really interesting.
Hmm. I'd be interested in seeing that. Yeah, I would like to see it.
I'm not saying it would work or whatever, but, like...
It would probably work. Well, I think he's good enough at it that I think he would be able to make it work.
Yeah.
So it would just be interesting.
For a little while.
Yeah. I mean, it always just depends on the casting.
Definitely. And you would, I think you would really have to plot it out. Like, you would really have to be like, have that shit ready to go.
From start to finish, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it could work.
You know what would be interesting is like a mini series. You know, like maybe like 6 episodes, each are like 40 minutes or whatever, but it's one continuous thing.
About Grace.
Please. Please write more about her. She's amazing. I would love to know what she's up to.
It's her adventures in college.
Also, I love that her boyfriend in her episode is clearly gay.
Right?
I'm like, girl, he is gay.
Talk about a relatable character.
God, yeah. And, what's her name? Plays the mom, Judy Greer. Iconic.
Well, we've come to the conclusion. We've come to the end of our season. Our season 2.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot. This is our last episode. Well, we're not in threat of being canceled like we were last season, because we haven't heard from our boss actually in a long time. We're a little bit concerned, but
the concern really wanes when you're like, oh, well, I still have a job, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, as long as we haven't heard from him, we're still employed and doing this. So, great.
Yeah, and that's the fun part.
I hope he's enjoying his vacation.
Wherever it be.
Yeah.
Be it trapped in a hellish dimension or not.
Godspeed. Yeah, no, I was going to ask you what's next, but it's nothing.
It's nothing? Well, we may be doing a little stuff here and there for the summer. I know, yeah, we'll wanted
probably be doing, it's 2:30 a.m. for sure.
Yeah, definitely look out for that. We'll be doing our Camp Rock episode, because why not? Woo! Camp Rock for the summer, because that's what you do.
Woo! I mean, is there a movie that is more summer than Camp Rock, besides maybe High School Musical 2?
You have a point there.
Yeah.
You got me there.
You got me there.
Also, I've happened to find the, like, missing season of, the missing first season of It's 3 a.m. Because, you know, when we started doing It's 3 a.m., it was season two, along with this show.
Okay.
So I found the missing first season. It's so much fun. All right.
That's great. Are you just, like plugging that right now?
I mean, why not?
That's not this show, though, so I don't... give a fuck.
That isn't this show, so I don't care.
Like, I thought you had actual news for me. I thought you were like, I found the missing first season of, like, Riverdale. I was like, oh, cool. Like, let's watch that. Like, no. Don't be plugging your other show.
I wish I could find the missing prequel series of Riverdale. That would be great.
It's the Archie comics.
No, I mean, still in the same style of batshit crazy as Riverdale.
I know what you meant.
Because I feel like the comics probably... just because it's a comic, it'll probably make a little bit more sense.
The comics are, like, literally just, like, Christian values.
Get out of my Christian home, like, Archie.
The show is, like, the opposite of them. Well, we do have a season three premiere kind of planned out, so...
yeah, in the works. In the works.
Eventually.
Which is also going to be exciting. It'll
and
be fun.
I am excited to talk about that, because it's something that I refused to watch for many years, and now I've watched it, and I'm excited to talk about it.
This is funny for me. I mean, it's hilarious for me, because I know what it is, but... you know,
I'm not
listeners,
gonna say what it is, but
you won't be disappointed, listeners. Also, we'll probably get around to our Supernatural episode, because I'm dying to do that one. Ever since I brought up the concept, I'm dying to do it.
Oh god, I'm not. No.
I'm just gonna explain it to you and Catherine. It's gonna be so much fun. And they'll give you like 3 episodes to watch, one of which will be a musical. So that'll be fun.
Gonna watch the Buffy musical episode.
I just want you to watch the episode and also the Scooby-Doo one.
I'm just gonna watch an episode of Crazy
Ex-Girlfriend. Just does the exact opposite.
Just like, we all sign on. I'm like, well, I watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend instead, so I'm gonna talk about that.
Well, Greg's not coming back. Just ended there. He's not coming back, Grace. He'll never come back.
Did in the form of Skylar Astin, and it was great, and I stan.
Well.
Anyway, we should probably say our goodbyes.
Yes, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking around with us this season, listeners.
Oh, it's been such a good season. Thanks, guys.
If you have any suggestions or whatever for us, just drop them on our Instagram at @ohnoit's2am. Or, I mean, you can email it, but I will be completely honest, I rarely check the emails, so you would be better off trying to get in touch with me via Insta.
We should make season 3 the season of listener requests. Except for not at all, because we're not going
to do that. I was going to say, I'm fun. Like, you already, like, said that you didn't want to do the Doctor Who request.
You know what? I thought about it late. I had a visceral reaction to that at the time, but I thought about it later, and I was like, oh, no, I could definitely say some stuff. You want me to say some stuff? Like, I'll say some shit about anything, really. So, you know, at me.
We'll put it on the books. I'll pencil it in.
At me, listeners.
Well, you heard it here first. It's coming at you. As always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.